complete the agenda today, but being that we're limited to less than an hour to get upstairs for the 10 o'clock convening, we'll recess. Nancy will, Ms. Conlon will remind me to say recess and not adjourn. But we will recess then to go upstairs and give everybody plenty of time to get up there. So we do have the minutes. Representative Olson?
Yep. Mr. Chair, move the minutes from May 13th and May 15th.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion on the minutes? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Let's see, we actually had two sets here. Yeah, so that one would have been the first one, the May 13th, and then we would need a motion for the second set of minutes.
Mr. Chair, I move both at the same time.
Oh,
I
moved
both the May 13th and the May 15th.
I guess I wasn't listening carefully enough, so they're both adopted. Okay. That takes care of the minutes, and we have House File 2796 first, and that's Representative Lilly, labor agreements and compensation. Is Representative Nelson here? Okay. Representative Olson?
Mr. Chair, I move the adoption of the State Government Finance Division Report for House File 2796.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Lilly, would you care to move the bill?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to, that'd be my motion, yes.
Okay, Representative Lilly moves the bill, House File 2796, dealing with the labor agreements. And Representative Lilly, would you care to cover the bill, or you can request your support person to help in that regard as well?
I'll begin. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. I'll begin, and if there's deep dive questions, I've got real talent here, Mr. Hubinger. But this House File 2796 ratifies the contract of for our publics, for the Law Enforcement Association, the law enforcement workers, the Highway Patrol, conservation officers, and such. And it also works on the contracts for our State Board of Investment, and they're making some changes. These are the folks that are responsible for our retirement, and as we all age, that becomes more and more important. They're responsible for close to $100 billion that they're overseeing, but there's about 800 workers that are on the law enforcement part of this bill. And they are receiving essentially kind of the same levels that the other contracts that we've ratified and passed through the legislature. Oddly, this is really only good for a couple months because the new contracts are beginning to be negotiated with the governor and such. So that's it. If you'd like a deeper dive, Representative O'Neill, her and I are both co-authors on this.
Okay, and any discussion? Representative Skalski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Lilly. I'm just wondering, and maybe this is a question for Mr. Hubinger, could you provide, Mr. Hubinger, in the past we've had, I know on the Subcommittee on Employee Relations, we've asked the government over and over again, M&B, to provide the average salaries and a bunch of other statistics about each of these bargaining units to us, and we seem to have to keep asking for that information. I'm wondering if you could round it up for us and get us a copy of that before this gets to the floor.
Mr. Hubinger.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Greg Hubinger with the Legislative Coordinating Commission and the Subcommittee on Employee Relations. MMB has provided that data. We'll get that to you before the bill hits the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Hubinger.
Any further discussion? Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Lilly, I have some questions with regard to the change in the compensation structure for the State Board of Investment. Are you in a capacity where you could answer those, or do you want to phone a friend?
Mr. Chair and Representative Albright, please ask, and we'll take TAG as best we can.
Mr. Chair and Representative Lilly, I'm fairly familiar with the structure of the SBI from the perspective that they currently have just three designations or salary ranges, but that's being expanded to, it looks like, 11. And I'm just curious why.
Representative Lilly.
Mr. Chair and Representative Albright, my understanding is the reason is that they're trying to be able to retain staff, and there's by lifting people up into different or giving them opportunities at different tiers, they're more likely to be able to get staff to stay on as they can grow through the structure. So right now the present structure is relatively limiting as far as career growth, and it was the director's plan that as this gentleman comes closer to retiring, that he feels that it'll be a stronger business model, if you will, to succeed and to retain talent, you know, because they really do compete with the public sector and with huge responsibilities. So if you lose someone, it really matters.
Mr. Chair, just a follow-up for Representative Lilly. Thank you. The revenue or the amount of money that is required to pay for these salaries, just as clarification, is not coming out of the general fund, though. Could you explain the apparatus that pays for the salaries of these folks?
Mr. Chair and Representative Albright, I think I'll tag team on that. Or
Mr. Chair, it might be appropriate to ask Mr. Perry, the Executive Director of the SBI, to respond to that question.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Mansco Perry. I'm the Executive Director and Chief Investment Officer for the State Board of Investment. Our budgeting process outlines how much we can spend. We receive about $139,000 from the general fund, and the remainder is charged. We get upfront funding from the pension funds, and the remainder is charged back to those that we manage assets for, and then what's left over goes back to the pension funds.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Perry, then, based upon the increase that it looks like in the number of classifications for folks that support the pensions and whatnot, would it be my understanding that there would be an increase in the overall value of the fees charged back to the pension funds for the increase in staffing?
Mr. Perry.
Mr. Chair, Representative Albright, currently the I set out a budgeting plan with regards to these changes. We don't anticipate at this point in time there be any fiscal impact. I've been carrying several vacancies. One of the difficulties that I have is that we have very little flexibility to hire younger staff and train them. At the middle levels, there are really only two levels in the current plan that I'm allowed to hire at, and that's caused some problems in the past where I've essentially got most of my staff at these two levels with very little ability to differentiate from skill levels. What the changes in the plan will do will allow us to expand the staff slightly. Right now, I'm carrying about nine vacancies in my budget. We don't anticipate that there'll be a great increase over time, but I'm trying to get things set up so that in the next several years, we've got a structure that will enable us to go forward at the next time there's a turnover at the top.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Mr. Perry, I certainly empathize with and I approve of the changes. I think it's warranted given the complexity of the investment environment in which you have to deal with. And Not only do we share a similar background in investment environment, we also share a birthday. And that being said, I certainly can appreciate that no one gets younger, they get older. And I'm sure you're also looking at your own succession plan for within the SBI, and this is a warranted step towards making sure that we have accredited people that know the nuances of what you do and how carefully with the, use a commonality word, under the fiduciary responsibilities that you carry and that burden and sharing with others. And so I would urge the members of this committee to support this bill. Thank you, Mr. Representative Lilly.
I was just curious, do you also share the same year? You don't need to answer that one if you...
Mr. Chair and Albright, I think I've got 11 years on the young representative.
Okay, because you did say birth date, and I was just wanted to clarify that. Okay, Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I had a question on both areas that we're looking at today. And since we have the executive director up here, I'll point my first question towards him. So I'm curious what the qualifications are for that you look for in hiring someone. What kind of educational background, experience do they have to have? I know this is a little off skew, but I'm very interested in what your parameters are there at your office.
Mr. Perry.
Mr. Chair, Representative, when we go out to hire people, we need to find people who have got some training and experience in the investment or finance fields. Generally, what we're looking for are people who have got a degree in finance, an MBA. Most of my staff have MBAs. There are a couple of us with law degrees. My staff, for the most part, is required to also get the chartered financial analyst designation. Several are also required to get the chartered alternative investment analyst certification. And then there's something called certification and investment performance measurement, which several of us have as well. So, you know, we try to make sure that we have people who have some understanding. It's difficult at times to hire people who've got the requisite experience that we require. When we do hire those, we don't always have the type of tenure we like. So one of the things we're trying to do with the new plan is, if you'll notice that we've added several tiers below our current lowest tier, which will enable us to hire some people with less experience, younger, and they can come in and hopefully we can train them and retain them, rather than any time we have a vacancy, we're going out and hiring somebody kind of at the mid-level. And given that there really is a very compressed structure, below myself right now, there are only three levels in the plan. And that has caused some difficulties. There are no places for people to go. We've had some very good people who left, gone to other organizations, and ended up leading those organizations as well.
Thank you for that. And then my other question is related to the law enforcement agreement. And so I don't know if this is Mr. Hubinger or the bill's author, but we have these achievement awards for the commerce insurance fraud specialists, and I'm wondering what the qualifications are for receiving one of these. It looks like $1,000 lump sum or one step increase. So if someone could take a stab at that.
Representative Lilly or Mr. Hill?
Mr. Hubinger, please.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, Representative Scott. This is common to a number of labor contracts with state employees to provide achievement awards. You know, generally are provided to a percentage of the eligible employees, typically around 35%. And it's a decision made by management and the supervisors about who is eligible. And the achievement awards range across the contracts from either being a step increase or a flat dollar amount as is provided in this contract.
Mr. Chair, thank you. And so do we know what any of those qualifications are? Are they based on the amount of fraud that they're able to uncover and prosecute, or is it just, hey, you're a really good employee, way to go, kind of a thing.
Mr. Yibinger.
Mr. Chair and Representative Scott, I think what I'll do is contact the department and ask them about the specific criteria that they use, and I'll get back to you on that.
Thank you. I'd be really interested in knowing that. And then the other question I would have is, Mr. Chair, if you could explain the details on the paid parenting leave provision that's being implemented in this.
Mr. Yibinger.
Mr. Chair and Representative Scott, this is the same paid parenting leave that is provided to all the other employees in the contracts and compensation plans that was determined 4 years ago. This contract is lagging behind the other contracts in it, so it's not just now being incorporated. So it provides 6 weeks of paid leave for employees who have been with the state, I believe, for at least a year.
Thank you.
Representative Jaskowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just wondering, Mr. Hubinger, could you give the committee a quick update on what the status is of the beginning of the bargaining agreements with the rest of the bargaining units, just quickly?
Mr. Hubinger.
Mr. Chair and Representative Jaskowski, as I understand it, the bargaining for the 2021 agreements is just now beginning. I believe they've had opening sessions with the two largest unions, AFSCME and MAPE. I don't know anything on the details beyond that.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none then, Representative Lilly, would you care to renew your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'll renew my motion that House File 2796, as amended, be recommended to pass and placed on the general register.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Mr. Hubinger. And,
thank you, Mr. Chair,
Gary,
members.
And Representative Lilly. We'll now go to House File 973, Representative Mann. Or, excuse me, Senate File 973, Representative Mann. Representative Olson.
Mr. Chair, I move that Senate File 973, the third engrossment, be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, the motion is before us. Representative Mann.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. This bill will establish a rare disease advisory council in the state of Minnesota. There is an amendment also, Mr. Chair.
That's the A1 amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Representative Olson.
Mr. Chair, I move the amendment for Senate File 973 A1 amendment.
That motion is before us. Any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. Representative Mann.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The bill as amended then.
So the amendment offered just adds the House language to the bill in regards to the appropriations. So the state of Minnesota has long been a leader in medical advancement and patient care with institutions like the Mayo Clinic, the U of M, and other world-class hospital systems. People travel from all over the world to get their care here. However, we do have a bit of a gap when it comes to rare diseases. A rare disease is one that affects less than 200,000 people in the U.S. and is a disease that there is no reasonable expectation that the cost of developing or making a drug for this disease will be recovered from sales of this drug. So therefore, only about 5% of rare diseases have any kind of treatment, and there are over 7,000 rare diseases. So what this bill will do is to establish the Rare Disease Council at the U of M, which will include nurses, physicians, hospital administrators, patients, and a bunch of other people. It also include members of the Senate and the House. Their duties will be to develop recommendations relating to quality and access of treatment, developing a list of publicly accessible resources for patients and providers, identifying best practices for care, identifying unique problems faced by patients, and more. Happy to answer any questions.
Okay, any discussion on the bill as amended? Representative Scott.
Real quickly, Mr. Chair, I see there's a $50,000 fiscal cost. It looks like that's going to be an annual cost. Okay, it goes to the Board of Regents. Is that what the...
Maybe on the question of the fiscal part of the bill, we can turn to Mr. Marks. That issue that you brought up has changed with the amendment. Mr. Marks?
Okay.
Mr. Chair and Representative Scott and members, the bill had a $50,000 appropriation each year. That's what the Senate had passed in this bill. The Senate also included $100,000 each year in their higher education bill. The attempt here is to pull those together, put the $150,000 in one bill, which is what the House did in the House Health and Human Services Finance Bill. So both the House and the Senate have basically the same positions on this. The Senate position was split between two bills. This is putting it all in one bill, the $150,000 each year in one bill, which is the position both the House and Senate have already. This is making it one time, so it's 20 and 21 only, so if it is to continue, it'd have to be reconsidered in 2 years.
Mr. Chair, then, so where does the money go toward?
Mr. Chair, Representative Scott, in the bill, the appropriation is to the Board of Regents of the university, so it would go to the University of Minnesota. And they are the ones who are establishing the Rare Disease Advisory Council.
Okay, and so, Mr. Chair, who,
Scott.
Will members of this council be receiving that? Is this for staff?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Mann, I think Mr. Marks deals with the fiscal side, so...
Yeah.
Representative Mann.
Yeah, so the money will go to a salary for a director. It will also go for web and IT costs, meeting costs, travel, and things of that nature.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any further discussion? Representative Greffel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a good bill. We should all vote for it.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Wilson.
I renew my motion that Senate File 973, as amended, be placed on the General Register.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Mann, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
And we'll now go to Representative Murphy with House File 2129. And
Mr. Chair?
With alignment here, I couldn't see you there, but Representative Poppy.
Mr. Chair, I'd move adoption of the Capital Investment Division Report for House File 2129.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'd move that House File 2129 be recommended to be placed on the General Register.
Okay, that motion is before us. Now, Representative Murphy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. When I first came to the legislature, my first field trip was going to the Red River Valley and seeing the big, huge farms with the big, huge tractors. And many of them were John Deere tractors, and they pulled other kinds of equipment behind them. And I thought, I would love someday to be the driver of one of those big tractors. And this is a tractor. And it's a John Deere, and it pulls a lot of equipment behind it. And there are 40, it's for $40 million. There are hundreds of farmers in the state of Minnesota that are waiting to be able to get their grants from this bill. It is important to them, and it is important to all Minnesotans. And if you have specific questions about the program, Ryan Rolls from the department is here to answer them.
Okay, any discussion? You go on field trips?
In those days,
I did. I go on site visits, and we're both former teachers, so, but it's easy to say field trip.
We saw lots of sugar beets in those fields.
Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, there are field trips, and there are field trips.
Sounds like
guys working for me are making field trips as we speak, I hope, up and down the field, unrelated to bonding field trips. Representative Murphy, this is the...
Are you going to discuss field trips, or...
No, I have a question.
Okay, Representative Torkelson.
That was just an aside, Mr. Chair. This is the second bill we've seen this week that includes items that are normally included in a geo bonding bill, and there have been many times in the past. Is this an indication of what's happening here this year? I'm going on a fishing trip, Mr. Chair.
You've been on a fishing trip, Representative Torkelson, and like I said, I really want to drive a big tractor.
Mr. Chair, well, if Representative Murphy would care to come to my farm on a nice day, which may not happen for a few days now, we could take a tractor ride.
Thank you.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Poppy, would you care to renew your motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would renew the motion that House File 2129 be recommended to be placed in the General Register.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
And we now have Representative Hansen's bill, House File 850. It's better when I put my glasses on before I start reading numbers. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd move adoption of the Environment and Natural Resources Finance Division Report for House File 850.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Hansen.
I move that House File 850 as amended be recommended to be placed on the General Register.
Okay, the motion is before us. We've got DE 1 amendment. Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, I would move the DE 1 amendment so that the bill is the same as the language that moved off the House floor already. I would move
DE 1. Okay, so that aligns the language. Any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Hansen on the bill.
This is a vehicle. I ask for your support.
Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying, or I should ask you to renew your motion.
I would renew my motion that House File 850 as amended be recommended to be placed on the General Register.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Members, what I think I'm going to do. I announced this at the beginning, but there's some people that arrived later. We will go into recess, and then we will reconvene later today to take up the second Lilly bill, House File 2682, and the House budget resolution. And I only ask members to remember that we're in kind of that fluid part of the session as we get down to the last few days, so just kind of keep that in mind as we convene and post bills and what have you. I think we posted, or will be posted for tomorrow to be announced, just so you're aware that there's a possibility that we may be meeting tomorrow. So just keep all of that in mind, and we'll keep you informed. So now we are in recess.